time is here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the Reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAFAIR. I don't know. None of them, guys. We don't speak for anybody except us. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelly
and
Tara.
Tara. That's the third. That's the third tombstone. Tara's here.
Hey guys,
I'm Tara.
I don't know if that's the nickname you want, but we don't really have we don't really have any nicknames.
Not particularly. I mean, if you guys don't have nicknames, I don't really want a nickname.
Shelly had a nickname though.
Yeah.
Yes, I did at one point, but it only lasted for like 6 months.
Okay. Well, Kick-Ass Shelly is way better than Tombstone Tara. Like, I mean, I can't imagine that I'll forever be connected to that town.
Well, no, you know, I got probably
the,
not.
My son actually gave me the Kick-Ass label by accident because I was going, it was the first time I was going to be speaking at a big meeting, and there's like 150 people at this meeting, and I was getting ready to go, and he said, "Are you okay?" Because I guess I looked stressed.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, "I'm a little nervous. I'm going to be speaking in front of a lot of people, and it's the first time in a long time that I've spoken, because I used to do it when I was a teenager." But, and he said, "Mom, all you have to do is get up there and say, 'My name is Shelly and I kick ass.'" And it made me laugh. And then when I went up to share, I actually incorporated that. I said, "You know, I was really nervous coming out here tonight," and explained what my son had said. And then after I sat down, the secretary of the meeting said, "Well, let's thank Kick-Ass Shelly for her share tonight." And then
That's awesome.
6 months after that, my sponsor latched onto that, and then she was telling people that was my name, and so that's how that happened.
That's awesome. Do you guys ever go blank? Like, whenever you get up to speak at a meeting, does the room just ever get kind of fuzzy? Like, you're just, like, staring into space telling your story, and, like, all the faces just kind of blend together? Because I feel like that a lot whenever I get up there to speak.
One time, and that's when I started speaking at the World Convention, because there was 45,000 people in the stands.
Wow.
And they just kind of all like blended together. But the coolest thing ever was like, "Hi, my name's Bruce and I'm an alcoholic." And it was like, "My name's Bruce. So I'm an alcoholic. And then, you know, 45,000 people, "Hi, Bruce."
I feel like that would be super cool to hear all those people like saying, "Hi, Bruce." But I feel like it would also be like super distracting.
Well, the thing is, and I think what really worked for me is that it wasn't as difficult, I don't think, as speaking in a small room where you can clearly see everybody, because you couldn't clearly see anybody. You'd see people, but, you know, they could have been eating hot dogs for all I know. And, you know, the guy's like, "Do you want to pretend like they're naked?" I'm like, "I can't get my heart on in here."
Since Shelly started talking about speaking in front of a meeting and, like, Kick-Ass Shelly and everything, I've been thinking, like, yeah, like, you're just supposed to imagine everybody's naked. Like, hold on. There are some of these people I don't want to imagine naked.
Yeah, and you know what? Guys don't want to do that. You don't want to imagine everyone's naked, because then there'll be, like, the hot newcomer in the front row, and you'll be like, "Oh, I'm thinking,
Or you're a younger woman like myself, and you're like, "Oh, okay, so everybody here is like in the, you know, 65 plus crowd, and I don't want to imagine my grandfather naked."
See, now I'm, you know what?
I guess now it's like my dad.
I'm in the 55 plus crowd. Look at that.
I said 65 plus. So.
Oh, good.
Don't worry, you're still safe, Bruce.
Because I'm like, oh my God.
But we always feel so much younger than we actually are, you know, at heart.
You know what? Yeah. I am literally like, and I don't mean this in a good way, really. I'm so literally like 19 years old all the time. Still, I can't even tell you. Yeah. When the ear doctor said, "Oh, you know, did you used to listen to a lot of loud music?" I'm like, "I still listen to a lot of loud music."
Right?
And he's like, "Yep, there it is. It's all rock and roll when you're young." I'm like, "Didn't you hear me? I still listen to a lot." Shelly will go to get in the car, and she's like, "Are you fucking kidding me?"
It's like can Memorex you? Ad with the guy who's getting blasted back in his chair by the sound. I'm
That's an old ad.
So there was this one time whenever I was little, and my dad and I were rolling around. And I mean, I was little. I was in early elementary school, and my dad and I are rolling around, and we hear this car pull up kind of next to us at this light. And he tells this story to this day. I turn over and I look at him and I'm like, "Radio for the hearing impaired, huh?" And he just like busted up laughing. I mean, what a quip for such a young kid, you know?
One of my favorite things, and it's an old Saturday Night Live skit. And there used to be this guy on Saturday Night Live. This is way back when like Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi and everyone was on. And they had the news for the hearing impaired. And Dan Aykroyd's up there and he goes, "Tonight on the news," and then this guy Garrett Morris yells in from his side, like, "Tonight on the news." I don't know. That's insensitive now.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know.
Well, you know what? That was a gracious good amount of
banter.
Really rocking radio banter. So
wait a minute. How could it be insensitive if they couldn't hear you?
Ooh.
Well, that would be like you saying, you know, "F you, Bruce," and thinking I don't hear it. Maybe I do hear it.
No.
Or maybe you don't have your hearing aid.
Hearing impaired, not deaf. There's a difference.
All right. Okay.
I'll tell you what, though. When I take this stupid hearing aid out, I feel like I'm deaf. I'm like, oh, my God, it's a huge difference. Because you know what it is? It's a little microphone on one side and a speaker on the other side. I mean, that's basically what they are. They amplify. So you know what that means? It's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. That's you're getting
close.
Right. That's right
I'm
there.
I'm getting there.
The men will be commenting on your dudes.
All right.
Hey, that new girl's got good dudes.
I like her dudes. I don't have any shout outs because we didn't get any news sent to us, but we have new.
Patreon.
Well, people? We've got Roland and Mark are on Patreon. Our new.
Somebody else too. They upgraded
Austin,
their Patreon.
I think it was Austin on Patreon. But then we also have new followers, Mark P and
Mark
Jeremy
P?
C.
I wonder if that's Mark P that we know.
No,
or it might be okay, Mark P that I know.
It's the one she knows because it's not the same.
I have a guy who's sponsored for a long time.
Yeah, no, not the same last name.
Okay.
Yes, so shout out to Jeremy and Mark and Austin and
shout out!
Roland. And to Bill, who just sent a chatty email. And,
yes.
And Monty commented.
The Monty man.
And that was about it. We're not getting our email or it's all going to the social box and I didn't look in the social box.
I do not know.
I don't know. I'll have to check that out later. So
okay.
If you sent something or you did something or you clicked on something and I didn't see it, sorry. Hopefully we'll get it next week.
Anyway, we still love you.
Yes.
So this is the Shelley news report.
Yes.
We didn't get anything dirty from Damon.
We didn't get anything from Damon.
I'm going to miss that.
Unless it went to, like I said, spam or social or whatever those stupid Gmail tabs are. It probably did.
Well, and then there's Fran, who lives in Tennessee, but like almost exclusively sends stories from Florida.
Yeah. She loves Florida news. Okay, we
What's
have...
What's not to love?
46-year-old David Licht.
See, already.
David Licht.
I know.
Already, yeah, I like it.
Well, this isn't really boozy. It's more like, you know, the stupid show. He decided he wanted to rob a bank. It didn't go as planned, obviously, because he's been caught. And it was quite amusing to the FBI officials because he put on his disguise outside the bank window.
Wait. I just want to clarify something real quick. So what was this guy's name?
David Licht.
David Licht hit a lick? No? Okay, nobody. Okay, fine.
I missed that one.
He hit a lick, you know, like he did a robbery.
Oh, is that a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I've never heard of that.
Really?
We learned something new.
I'm pretty sure
apparently
that's
not in the know in California.
I'm pretty sure
it's
like
a young thing.
No, it's like old mobster stuff, I think. Anyway, whatever. Keep going.
Yeah,
anyway.
Somebody let us know.
Hit a lick.
The FBI special agent Michael Leverock, who was called by they showed up because the bank teller could see the guy putting on the ski mask and the flannel outfit and the gloves and everything,
which is probably all on camera too,
through the window.
Oh man, yeah.
Because he's right outside the bank, so she hit the button before he even walked in the bank.
Come
That's fantastic.
And of course, because it's a bank robbery, the FBI, the Phoebes were called in.
The
FBI special agent Michael Leverock said, if you see someone on a balmy summer day trying to enter a bank in a flannel shirt wearing a ski mask, you should call 911, which is exactly what she did.
What I want to know is this guy, what is he? What was his title?
Special agent.
How special do you need to be to catch this guy?
Well, that's true.
I mean, come on.
He caught himself.
I mean, maybe he's a special agent.
And they have, you're right, they do have camera, they did have cameras right outside the bank, because one of the pictures in the story is clearly him putting on a ski mask while he's standing outside the door.
That's fantastic.
Jeez.
Did you, you know what, one time on the show, and this happened, there was a guy in Southern California that was called the Silver Fox Bank Robber.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
What?
And it was like an older guy, and he was silver hair and everything. And so we look up the guy's picture. He looks, not in all the pictures, but in this one picture, he looked amazingly like one of the show hosts.
Wow.
We're like, oh, you look just like Lee. We're like, Lee, where were you yesterday?
Yeah, we're like, Lee, what have you been
doing? I mean, he looked just like him. That's like, oh my God.
That's wild. I know a guy from Columbus who robbed a bank. And his story is just absolutely fantastic. I would love to hear it again. It's really interesting, but yeah.
I met a guy at Impact House, and his name was Augie. I won't say what his last name was, but his name was Augie. And he had robbed a number of banks. And he goes, you know, it's not as exciting as you think. He goes, you walk in, you hand him a note that says, give me the money. You're going to get money from one teller. You know, you're not going in to, like, rob the entire bank and guns and all that. He goes, I never took a gun with me. He goes, because your sentence gets dramatically higher if you use a gun.
I've heard that.
And he goes, so this one time, I'm on the way. He goes, I robbed a bank. I'm going straight to my dealer's house, right? And he's going to the dealer's house, and the dye pack explodes inside his car.
Oh, no.
And the entire inside of the car is, like, red. His face is
red. He's red, yeah.
His hands are... And he goes to the dealer, and half the money's red, and the dealer's like, dude, what do you get out of here? What are you doing? Why are you coming to my house? And he finally got arrested, and there was another dude, and his name was Emerson, and he had robbed 16 banks, and it turned out he took this plea bargain to go to treatment, and in treatment, everyone found out, he's like, yeah, I don't do drugs or alcohol at all. And they're like, what do you mean? And he's like, I spend money on other stuff, but I don't do drugs and alcohol. And we're like, what? Why are you in this recovery center? He goes, because they offered it to me. He goes, I won't have any problems staying sober because I don't get loaded. And they decided to let him stay because they're like, clearly he has living issues. You know, he's got life living issues. So yeah.
Well, all right then.
Life recovery.
Yeah. The next story is out of Australia.
Hey, throw another shrimp on the Bobby.
Well, no, this one's about chicken.
Throw some chicken on the Bobby.
As per a normal day, they barbecued a bunch of chicken that they normally put in these prepackaged things to sell, like, you know, in those big cases, and you just pick up a box of chicken,
pre-made chicken.
At the deli.
Well, yeah.
And they write, with a little marker, they write what time the chicken was cooked, so that they know if it's sitting there for too long. And they got to the end of the evening and they were closing up and realized that they hadn't sold any chicken at all that day, or at least not since the evening shift. And
they wrapped up live chickens?
No, one of the employees took a picture of the box because they realized that whoever wrote the time on it wrote 7:45 when the boxes were turned the wrong way. So when they were put in the case, every single box of chicken said shit on it.
Oh, that's perfect.
Because it was 7:45, but it was upside down.
It's like when you used to write stuff on calculators.
Yes,
on calculators.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw the picture. I'm like, yep, that whole case of chicken looks like it says shit.
That's so funny.
They're like, I don't want to eat that.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't buy it if it said shit on
even
it.
Even in Australia, mate, we don't eat that shit.
We don't eat shit chicken.
But they eat Vegemite, which might as well be shit. Have you ever tried Vegemite?
That's so salty.
It's
so intense.
You'd probably love it.
I probably would.
Because it's really gross.
I mean, I've had it, and you know, and it was fine, but it's not something that I would like go out of my way to find, you know.
And see,
it's fries.
They have it at Fries.
And
really?
See, I'm not there. Like,
the
you're like,
aisle.
You're like, it's fine. I'm like, no.
No.
You know what it reminds me
not.
Of? And you probably won't remember this, but there was a movie back in the day called Soylent Green.
Okay, actually, like, working in the food industry as long as I did, I have heard of that. And
Soylent Green is people.
Yeah, yeah. And so there was this company recently that was making this stuff called Soylent.
Yep.
And I'm like, you've got to be kidding. These younger people that have never heard of this movie, you know, probably have no idea what the reference is. But what are you doing?
I think we might have done that on Boozy News once.
We did once.
Because I'm like, unfortunate naming of your product.
Well, it's Soylent Green. The movie was based on a book by Harry Harrison called Make Room, Make Room, which is about overpopulation, which is why they started eating people, basically, and turning it into chips. And it was called Soylent Green.
This is like Sweeney Todd gone completely
yes,
wrong.
Right. Yeah.
And then when I first saw the ad for the Soylent drink.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a joke ad. This has to be.
Kidding. Yeah.
And then over time, I realized they're actually marketing this product.
It's like a meme waiting to happen.
It is.
And if you click on the comments on the ads on Facebook.
Oh, they've got to be fantastic.
It's just a million people saying, Soylent Green is people. And I haven't seen any ads for it lately, so I'm wondering if they took it off the market.
I saw one just as recent as, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
and I was
man.
Like, you're serious? Like, you guys haven't taken this off the market yet? What are you doing?
I would never try it. I would never even try it.
Nope.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
That's like who is the guy? Not John Wayne Gacy. Who's the guy?
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, that's Jeffrey Dahmer-esque. That's like having Dahmer soda or something, you know. Let's have some Dahmer soda.
Okay, the next story is actually kind of a survival of the fittest, a feel-good kind of story. About 10 days ago, Angela Hernandez was reported as missing. This is in California.
Mm. Okay.
They had video surveillance pictures of her putting gas in her car, in her Jeep. And then her sister was the last person to talk to her in Facebook chat earlier that day. And then suddenly she disappeared. And her husband reported her missing. She's 23 years old.
Wow, so young.
Well, she ain't dead yet. Ooh. What happened was she was driving
guy's
in
house
her
was
Jeep.
She at?
No, she wasn't at a guy's house. She was driving
Mr.
in
Judgy.
Her Jeep up PCH.
Yeah.
Went off the cliff at Big Sur.
Oh, that could be quite a
was
drop.
Seriously injured in her broken down Jeep on the coastline, right up against the coast.
She
against
didn't
the
hit
rocks.
The water?
No, because and nobody could see her because she was her whole vehicle was like tucked right up against the crags
wow.
of the cliff.
How far did it go? Did it say?
It went all the way down.
No, but I mean, did it say how far it actually? Because there's a lot of coastline up there where it could be like a couple hundred 200, 300, 400 feet.
I didn't see
depending
that.
Depending on
story.
Where it is. Holy crap.
She survived for a week because she couldn't walk. She was injured. She couldn't move. She had no cell phone reception.
Yeah, Big Sur.
She survived by drinking the water out of her radiator.
Good for her.
I would never have thought of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't
you
have
would,
either.
You know what? You guys would have gone all Bear Grylls. She'll be like, I heard you could drink your urine.
You already know it.
You know what?
Whatever I have to do to stay alive. I mean, if that's where we're at, then that's where we're at.
Hey, I slammed one time with radiator water.
Oh, 200 feet.
Why does that not surprise me?
Yeah, it's, well, you know, because I'm a dope fiend.
It was
a 200-foot drop.
200 yeah. feet, man. That is...
That's crazy.
So that's...
She had swerved to avoid an animal on the road.
That's two-thirds of a football field in the air to land in a pile of rocks on the coast.
So anyway, what happened was she was discovered after a week of being down there.
Well, like fishermen
down there. No, a couple of hikers who were looking for good places to climb, like rock climb.
Oh,
like
shit.
Rappelling.
They're like, hey, let's climb down yeah. and look at that wrecked vehicle.
And because she couldn't walk, but she could signal with her arms, and she started waving, and they're like, oh, my God, there's a woman in that wreck. And
holy.
Called the rescue
Oh, my
people.
Goodness.
Oh, so in other words, those guys, those two guys were heroes of the week.
Yeah, sounds like
it. So. Oh, no, it wasn't two guys. It was Chelsea and Chad Moore.
Ah,
were the hikers
Chelsea and Chad?
Chelsea and Chad.
That is such like when I went to college, like everybody at my college was like named like that. I mean,
yeah.
it was so preppy in the 80s. You had either the hardcore hair metal type guys, or you had, "Hi, I'm Biff." "Hi, Biff. I'm Buffy."
So anyway, Chad rappelled down the side to stay with her while his wife hiked back to get help.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Wow. That's I would
awesome.
Have rappelled, and I would have sent my husband walking. Cause
yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know. And I don't want, like, PETA all over my butt or anything, but I'm telling you what, you know, if that's what it's looking like, this animal is a goner. If it comes down to me or an animal, like, I'm sorry, but you're done. Like, I pass rabbits all along the road
all the time.
The other night, whenever I was driving home from work, I passed two coyotes, three javelinas, and two deer, and countless rabbits, like jackrabbits and
yeah.
stuff.
Those
and it's
suicidal.
Just crazy. They are. Jeremy
right
was just saying that. Yeah, Jeremy was just saying that a few weeks ago.
You've never seen anything as suicidal as possums. Because there was this place in Oregon, and you know the term play possum?
Yes.
That's because when possums feel like they're in danger, they play dead.
Right.
So they're walking across the road, they see headlights, and what do? They
lay down.
They fall over on their side, and they play dead. And there's this section of road near Salem, Oregon, just the animal control's going there every day with their scrapers, just
wow.
taking dozens of them out of there.
All right, the next story is a boozy news.
Oh, yay.
In Wyoming, the city of Powell.
Good place for booze.
The city of Powell does not have surveillance cameras. You know, Wyoming is one of those rough and tumble kind of states where,
right.
you know,
where the only guys there are the guys waiting for the apocalypse?
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm just
they don't
joking
want anybody
out there in radio land.
They don't spy on each other.
But so if there is an apocalypse, I'm going to come, and you guys please let me stay with you.
I've seen pictures, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh,
just
it is.
Saying.
So there's no surveillance cameras
right.
on the main drag in the city of Powell. And they're having a little bit of a problem because in their planters, which they tend quite frequently, they've got pansies and petunias and all kinds of pretty flowers and
That's
stuff
lovely.
All up and down the street. And it looks really nice, except for the marijuana plants that keep cropping up in the middle of their planters.
That's
right in
awesome.
Yes.
Right in the, you know, in between the marigolds and the zinnias, the pot plants keep cropping up. And they don't have any cameras. They think that somebody is, like, as a prank, is planting these things, and they don't have any cameras on the street, so they don't know who it is. I
think that's fantastic.
I'm sure some gentlemen around there have trail cams. You know,
yes.
somebody's
like,
gotta know
somebody.
Let's put some trail cams out.
Yeah.
Well, at my mom's house, now, of course, weed is legal in California now. At my mom's house, I go out in the backyard, and I'm looking, you know, they smoke hookah in the I call it a shed, but it's not really a shed. My daughter's husband built a pretty good thing in the backyard. I mean, it's got windows, got a door. I mean, it's like a thing, and they
That's
do
really
hookah
nice.
And stuff in there.
Yeah.
And I'm out there, and I'm like, you guys really need to cut down the weeds out here. And I look over, and I'm like, oh. And it's like this 2.5 foot tall plant that's budding. And I'm like,
oh my
what's
gosh.
The deal with this? And Joseph goes over and he goes, holy crap, I've never even seen that. And I'm like, yeah, well, it's pretty far along here.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it's budding so short, you know, but I'll show you a picture of it later. It's
you
like,
ever heard of a sea of green? That's interesting. They're all like 1 foot tall and the whole thing is like buds.
My uncle one time in Yreka, California, took me to a place where the sheriff's department burns weed, right? They burn weed because they find it all over the place. And when we were on the way up there, in amongst all these trees, it looked like ferns everywhere. I mean, it looked like you're in the forest and there's just a bunch of ferns. I mean, there was hundreds of these plants. Sorry, Shelley. Didn't mean to get off target.
That's all right. That's all right. But, you know, we're 22 minutes in. We got two more stories to go. All right. So let's
go, go.
In Cherokee, Oklahoma. And I'm going to look this up because he now has his own Facebook page.
Ooh.
There's a goat, a town goat that makes news quite often. It keeps law enforcement busy.
Is his name Billy?
No.
Oh, okay. What is his name?
Well, the tagline in the paper last week said, normal goats don't hang out at bars and get in standoffs with the police.
Sweet.
It's my kind of goat.
Yeah, I like that
goat. His name was originally Whitey, but the residents have renamed him Kevin. I know why,
because Whitey's insensitive.
No, well, he's a white goat. He's a white-faced goat.
Well, you know. I'm a white guy, but I don't know if I'd feel good if someone called me Whitey.
His owner, Doug Murrow, says he's just a normal goat. He eats and he does what goats do, which is apparently escape his pen on a regular basis. And he started going off on these walkabouts and getting into trouble. And at first, everybody just kept taking him home. But now people are actually videotaping it. And finally, one of the town residents created a Kevin the Goat Facebook page. Oh,
that's awesome.
To put his stuff up on Facebook.
And you know
that's
what?
Awesome.
That thing's going to get a million likes.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
I'm going to go like it tonight.
Yeah. I got to go check. I hardly ever go on Facebook.
I know.
I'm going to be on
it. The Cherokee, Oklahoma Police Department is not thrilled about Kevin's antics. But because it's kind of starting to get a little bit humorous. Everybody's sort of putting up with it.
You know what? I guarantee they're going to get tourists as a result of this.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
People are going to say, we got to go see the goat.
Yeah.
And this town that would never normally have those people will suddenly get people coming and eating lunch, and someone's going to be selling Kevin the Goat t-shirts.
Oh, he's got t-shirts already.
Yeah,
see?
I knew it.
And the Facebook page has only been open up for 1 week, and it got 400 followers in 1 week. For a goat, that's quite a bit.
Yeah, wait till it goes viral.
402 as of tonight.
Maybe 403.
We never know.
The big denouement happened when Kevin was rousted out of the local bar by the barkeeper who said, okay, you can't be in here, basically. And
probably
there was a police officer
probably crapping
out,
and peeing in the bar.
Probably. There was a police officer
poor
out
little
in
Kevin.
The parking lot. And the police officer and Kevin got into a standoff in the parking lot. And the police officer's partner said, and I'm quoting him here, at first I thought he was just yanking my chain and someone was making this up. And then I went to the bar. And he was. The goat was like going to headbutt the cops.
That's what's great about goats. I've seen many fail videos with goats that just lay people out. I mean, like, they're usually like in Mexico or South America, and they're trying to shoo the goat away, and then the guy turns his back to walk away, and the goat turns around and comes and wails him. Yeah.
Okay, and
it's all
finally
good.
This. Now, I'm not sure if either one of you have heard the big Costco controversy.
No.
But huge news. Like, it was all over my news feed like 4 or 5 days ago.
Huh.
Costco has decided that they're going to phase out their infamous Polish hot dog thing at the
oh my god
at the food court in favor of more healthful options such as the tofu salad, which the CEO of Costco said, I tried it, it's okay.
That's a great review.
Yeah.
Well, and you know if you've ever been to Costco, have you ever had the hot dog thing they have there?
I have not. Actually, after we spent like $700 in one trip, Jeremy and I got rid of our Costco cards.
Yeah, but listen to this. It's like $1.25 for this gigantic hot dog.
$1.50.
$1.50 and a soda and a large soda.
Well, let me clarify that though. Because the Costco hot dog deal, you can either get the Polish dog or the regular hot dog, right?
Yeah, well, the Polish dog is the one.
Yes, that's the one they got rid of.
Mm.
So they still have the regular hot dog, but not the Polish hot dog. So, and people were going on Twitter and saying things like, why are you ruining my life? I mean, doing the at Costco, I hate you. You've ruined the world. You've messed up America.
It's like Brad's wife and Cracker Barrel all over again.
Brad's wife?
Yeah, you never heard about that?
No.
Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel.
Share.
Okay, I'll try to make this as quick as possible. There was this, about a year ago or so, there was this thing going around on Facebook, and this gentleman named Brad commented on a Cracker Barrel Facebook page, and he asked why they fired his wife. He just said, why did you fire my wife? Yeah, and then, okay, so Brad's wife was fired from Cracker Barrel after 15 dedicated years of service, and the best service I ever had Brad's wife.
You sound like his lawyer.
They right made she made the magic happen, okay? And they made a big mistake whenever they fired her. My son Evan and
I think Brad used to say that too. She makes magic happen, baby.
My son Evan and I actually went on this thread and posted a bunch of comments, like, you know, just kind of like playing along, backing Brad and his wife. It was hilarious. And Evan was like, I don't know, maybe nine or so at the time, maybe 10. But he had a blast sitting there with me, and we're just like making up all these silly comments. He's just as quick as his mother.
Oh, you know what that is?
More witty, actually.
That's like the things on Amazon.
Yes, Amazon reviews.
Amazon reviews are sometimes there's a thing. Sometimes you got to go on Amazon reviews and look up the banana slicer.
Okay.
And there is like 4,000 reviews, and they're like, oh, you know, this.
The banana slicer saved my marriage.
It changed my life. It's fantastic. It saved us from nuclear war. It's fantastic.
That's hilarious.
Well, so anyway, to wrap up so we can wrap up the boozy news here.
Yes.
In a response to Costco getting rid of the Polish hot dog deal, Sam's Club is now going to offer kielbasa quarter pound hot dog for 99 cents at their food court.
Snap.
In
that's
response
a burn.
To this.
Snap.
Because a bunch of people on Costco's Twitter were saying, well, I'm getting rid of my Costco card. I'm going to Sam's Club. So Sam's Club like, well, hey, come over here. We'll give you a big hot dog.
Yeah, come over to the dark side. We've got cookies.
They'll be like, we'll give you a big hot dog. Come on, baby.
Okay, so I want to put a poll on the Facebook, you know, like, which would be a bigger tragedy, losing this Polish hot dog at Costco or losing the meatballs at IKEA? Because I hear that those Swedish meatballs at IKEA are to die for.
You know what's crazy about IKEA?
That's supposed to be like the thing.
If you look at like reviews on Yelp and stuff for IKEA, there are people that will rate IKEA based on the food thing.
Yeah,
so
the food
one
court.
Time, my daughter tells me, when she was in high school, she's like, oh, we go to IKEA all the time. We go in there to eat. So I have to check it out one day. One morning I go over there, and it was like eggs and toast and coffee, and it was like, and hash browns. It was like 99 cents. I'm like, and you know, it's hard to mess up eggs and hash browns, you know, and I'm like, oh.
I don't know. I've seen it.
I found out about it because the IKEA where we lived in Covina was like on the way to the school.
Yeah.
So the kids would stop at IKEA on their way to or back to eat.
Yeah.
And I was like,
have you ever been
to IKEA?
You've been in an IKEA?
I haven't been in an IKEA. They recently built one in Columbus, like, I don't know, maybe 6 months or so before we moved to Arizona.
Here's the thing with IKEA. And anyone that's been to IKEA can back me up on this. You cannot just go into IKEA and buy something. You go into IKEA, and it's like this snaky course through the entire store until you get to the end where the registers are. You need a canteen, a compass, and a tent
to
get out of there.
I've heard that. You have no idea how excited my parents were whenever they were getting ready to build the IKEA. I mean, they had looked at IKEA catalogs for years and bought like a couple of pieces of furniture here and there, you know. But I mean, like, my dad was lit up whenever he found out that they were building an IKEA in Columbus. I mean, he was so stoked. He loves
to
shop.
That Costco is getting rid of the Polish dog.
I have put together quite a few pieces of IKEA furniture in my life. I have shopped at IKEA a few times. Given the choice, I would prefer never to set foot in an IKEA again, but that's just me. Because the furniture is unless you're willing to spend some money, the furniture is mostly crap.
Yeah.
And I
really hated
getting stuck in the freaking store for 40 hours. Because if there's a lot of people in the store, it's like a line at Disneyland. You can't
really?
Just, like,
and there's
around.
Literally like arrows on the floor.
And
it guides you through. Like you could.
Like
not,
do they have like people with flashlights?
Well,
like
you could,
here, go this way.
You could not follow the areas and cut through some places. But with the arrows on the floor, people are like sheep. They will just follow the arrows, which basically takes them through every single department in there.
In
which
the store.
is really a fantastic marketing idea.
It is.
I go in at noon. I'm like, I'm just here for a bookcase. I come out at 7:30, starving because I didn't stop at the food
with
court.
With 37
well,
items.
Well, that's why they have a food court.
And a bookcase.
That's funny. Oh,
yeah. So anyway, that's the end of the boozy news.
That darn IKEA.
Don't worry. It'll happen. The magic will happen.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back. Welcome back, everybody.
All righty.
Hey.
You got a topic?
I do.
Awesome.
So I'm listening to this comedian, and his name is Dimitri something or other. He reminds me of Stephen Wright, if you know who Stephen Wright is. He's got like a bunch of like kind of like one-liners that are just things about life in general.
Bad.
Yeah, no, that kind of thing. Yeah, I bought a pack of batteries, but it wasn't included. You know, that kind of thing.
Instant coffee in the microwave, back in time.
So this guy, and it immediately struck me like program, but of course that's not the way he was mentioning it. He said, you know, he doesn't get it because he wears a belt to keep his pants up. And then he realized that he has belt loops which hold the belt up. And he's like, who's the real hero? You know, which is actually doing the work for me? Is the belt holding up my pants because the belt loops are holding up the belt? And the first thing I thought of is program. And I'm like, you know what? I kind of get that. It's like when you first get sober, you're not really, you're doing good to hold yourself up. And so you've got the program is kind of like the belt loops. You know, they're holding you up. And then as you stay in the program for a while, then you become the one that's kind of, then you become a belt loop.
Yeah.
And then even after you're a belt loop for a while, something tragic happens or something. And then suddenly
you're the belt again.
You're the belt again. And other people are holding you up. So what do you guys think about that?
I mean, I think it's an interesting concept, but like, To be serious, I mean, I feel like whenever I start thinking that I'm holding the program up, like, I can start to get into ego, and that's a really scary place for me to be. I mean, legitimately.
Oh, you're in the wrong room here.
You know? I mean, like,
speak for yourself.
I am.
You know, so I don't know. I don't want to go there. I don't want to think about it too much. And I know that that's, you know, that's not great for like a radio show. Like,
well,
let's
no,
not
but
talk
look,
about
look
that.
Look at it
but,
from this point of
but,
view.
But, you know.
Look at it from this point of view. Why, and, you know, what are the two reasons that people take chips? One is because they're happy they got the time. So, you know, they're getting a year chip. And I mean, do you think really that a guy that's been around 30 years really needs to get a chip? But you know what? It's really good for newcomers to see people take chips.
It works.
You know, does anyone, like Shelley, do you really want to be a GSR?
Yeah.
Or are you being a GSR because you're being of service because it helps the program run?
Mm.
I mean, no one becomes a GSR out of ego, I don't think, because it's a really...
I sort of became the GSR because I raised my hand and because no one else was and it was an awkward silence.
but completely not out of ego.
Well... No,
yeah, but GSRs hold up the program
well,
in
the
general.
Deal. We came to a new town. We've got a new home group. We're doing the deal, you know, getting our program established
right.
in our new home. My sponsor is very big on, and so am I as a result,
mm-hmm.
on service work.
Absolutely.
Because you have to have a commitment at your meetings. You got to, because it keeps you accountable. It keeps you going back. And it worked for me. So I always ask my sponsees to get, you know, things and... I'm really low, and I'm not sure why. But
turn
anyway,
yourself up.
I am going to turn myself up. At least I... Whoa, now I'm way too high. Okay, there we go.
You can even it out, though, right?
Yeah, I can even it out later.
Okay.
But I'm really low, and I don't want to keep trying to shout.
Okay.
So she had me do all the service work, so I go to the business meeting after our Friday night meeting, because that's what I'm supposed to do, and the GSR commitment came up, and I'm like, oh... Because... Committee meetings are not my favorite thing in the whole world. I've been to more than my fair share. And then
shouting match.
And then I was told that the GSR commitment was only every other month, and I'm thinking, or every 3 months or whatever, I'm thinking only 4 times a year. I can do that. Raise my hand.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Because there was like this silence because nobody wanted to do it.
Right.
I found out that it's not 4 times a year. It's 6 times a year. Plus, they want you to go to all the area assemblies, post and pre and conferences and stuff. And I'm like,
Ouch.
But you don't have to. And this, and I've spoken with several people in our group, and no, they don't really expect me to. However, they did vote for me to have gas money if I want to go to any of them.
That's
any
cool.
Of the conference.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I'm thinking, road trip, woohoo. You know, so we may be going to...
Well, and
I forget where.
And in with the thing about service, it doesn't really appear to be service. Like, for instance, so you go to a meeting, and, you know, I could see that there could be certain things you could do. I think they call them chairs here in California. They call them secretaries. It's like I could see people that become a secretary or a chairperson because there could be some ego thing involved with that. Like, I'm running the show. But, like, for instance, someone who definitely holds up a meeting, lets newcomers know things that you don't even really think about is when someone asks you to read something. You're going to read how it works. You're going to read the – and it's like – nobody is reading that out of ego or anything,
right.
You know what I mean? Or the guy that comes in and he's just dying in a meeting and they sit next to you and you talk to him, you know, you're certainly not helping that guy out of ego. But I think that's what I mean by, you know, those are like the belt loops or like the
right.
People that come in and they're dying and they're wet ones and they're this and they're that. And the people that do the things, like we used to always talk about the guys that did service that you never really noticed did service. Like the guy that shows up early and sets everything up.
Right.
Some meetings will say thank you so and so for setting things up. We used to do that at the CA meeting we went to. But like over here at Tombstone, I never hear him say, hey, thank you so and so for setting everything up.
Because
they never thank the coffee maker.
It's always somebody different though.
Yeah.
That's why. It's always somebody different
but see,
out here.
But
and
see,
it's
that's
different.
What I mean.
It's so much different than other places because I noticed whenever I was out in California, I was out in LA and I was visiting Jeremy and I noticed that they had just all kinds of different positions for stuff, you know? And I mean, okay, so whenever we were living in Columbus, we had a secretary and a chair. So mm-hmm. The chair would just read, like, this is, like, the order of the meeting. This is how, you know, can so-and-so
right.
do the readings and stuff like that. Well, the secretary was the one that would say, please don't smoke in front of the meeting. You know, like, this is our process for breakdown, different things like
right,
that.
Right.
You know, but out in California, they had all these different service positions and like there's somebody specific to do the coffee, you know? So
yeah.
Like in Ohio, it was like whoever opens up the meeting, like the secretary
right.
generally would start the coffee. It wasn't, you know, or like they would set up the meeting, start the coffee, get everything set out and everything. And then like the chair just kind of shows up and like runs the meeting, so to speak.
And I think
it's different everywhere.
I think the reason for that, at least in the area we were in, and you know, we're always sensitive that, you know, I've been to meetings in several states and it's
mm-hmm.
different every place you go.
Yeah, it is.
But I know that at the meetings that we used to go to, the idea was, you know, some meetings would have a greeter.
Right.
And that was their job, is to stand at the door and shake everyone's hand and introduce themselves, because that's really good for newcomers. There
right.
would be a literature person, which is interesting here. I've never heard
there's
of
no
announced
literature, person.
Literature at all.
I
you
rarely
know, it's like
ever.
We don't sell big books at the meeting.
Right. I rarely ever hear about like the, you know, the jail jug or whatever, you know, whenever we
yeah.
go to a meeting.
Well, and I kind of get weirded out by that because like, I mean, it's, you know, it's the way they do it here.
Right.
But it's like normally you would go to an AA meeting and there would be a rack, nice rack. There would be
right,
a rack,
right, right.
And it would have a bunch of, you know, little pamphlets in it, and you'd get them from central office, wherever central office is around
sure.
here, it's probably Tucson, and there would be big books for sale at our cost, and, you know, sometimes, you know, some guy comes in, he doesn't have a big book, one of the old-timers buys him a big
but,
book
yeah,
or
absolutely.
Whatever,
yep.
and there would be a chip person
yes.
that's the same every time, because that was their reason, their commitment to go, and there
yeah.
would be a cake and cookie person, and they were in charge.
See,
like
we,
you'd know the week before if someone was going to have a birthday or an anniversary,
right.
and they would bring a cake specifically for that reason.
Well, in Columbus, at least, we never did cakes. So, like that, as far as I've always known, is like a West Coast thing. And then chips are generally like whoever, you know, whoever. It's kind of like passed out like the readings.
Right, right, right.
You know, so it's, I don't know, it's different everywhere. Whenever I went to Kentucky, Jeremy was doing a job in Lexington. And we went to a meeting down there. And it was the same thing. You know, there was no cake and they just kind of passed everything out. Like there was a secretary and a chair. But other than that, all the other positions were just kind of like, okay, who showed up tonight? You know,
we, Shelley and I and the kids went back to visit her family in Cincinnati. And yeah. You fly into Lexington, Kentucky.
No, you fly into Covington.
I was going to say, you guys didn't fly into...
Covington. So we get off the plane and everything, and we're walking around, and I don't know what it is, but something doesn't seem right to me, but I can't put my finger on it. I'm like, I don't know what's wrong here. And I went up to a Starbucks, and there was this black girl working at Starbucks, and I'm just like weirded out, just like looking around. I don't know what it is. I don't know what feels weird to me. And the girl goes, where are you from? And I said, I'm from Los Angeles. And she looks at me and she goes, it's weird, isn't it? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. I don't know what it is. And she leaned over to me and she goes, there's a whole lot of white people here. And suddenly I looked around and like, I don't know what it was because I'm white, but I was like, kind of creeped out because I'm like, where are all the real people at? Because
right. Where's everybody else?
Well, in California, you know, in Southern California,
yeah.
Whites aren't the majority anymore in Southern California. It's Hispanics. So I'm so used to seeing dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of Hispanics every day, and black people and Asian people. And so it's like I'm walking around, and I made a joke to her mom that she didn't think was very funny because they live in this town called Montgomery.
I know where that's
at.
And
it's very, it's like, we saw one Asian guy at Kroger.
It's very Caucasian. Yes.
We saw one Asian guy at Kroger, and I asked her mom, I said, so when's the KKK meeting? She didn't find that funny at all.
Ouch.
But because, you know, I'm not used to that.
Covington is like that, you know. It's not as diverse as like Columbus. You know, whenever I was living in Columbus, there were a lot of different people from a lot of different cultural backgrounds.
Same with Cincinnati.
You know?
Capital. That's also the capital.
Right, right. And it's also a major immigration hub here in the United States, I found out several years ago. So that has something to do with it as well. Mm.
So Shelley,
that was totally off topic.
Yeah, I know. So Shelley.
What?
You haven't chimed in on this topic yet. I know we were rolling.
I was playing with the dog.
It's time for you to roll.
Belt loops and belts.
Roll it up like a zigzag.
Jeez.
Do you even know what that is?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
Papers.
Wasn't her thing. Right?
Yeah, no, it wasn't her thing. Yeah.
I've forgotten what the topic is now.
Belt loops and belts.
Yeah. Are we the belt loop or are we the belt?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Or are we both?
Or are we both, yeah.
Well, I think we're both at different times. It depends on where you are in your recovery. And it can change over the course of your recovery. Depends on what's going on in your life. Because sometimes, I mean, you know, something catastrophic enough happens.
I'm just wondering, you're fanning yourself, and I'm wondering if the microphone will pick that up. You'll be sharing. You'll hear this.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's what did it, because I was fanning myself like crazy.
I bet that's what it was, yeah.
You had a fan, too.
I did.
You guys were both had fans. We had a dumpster fire that...
That we had to
went
dump.
A little sideways.
Was inaudible.
Yeah. So anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. At various times, you could be the belt loops, you could be the belt. I'm not a huge fan of this analogy.
Me either.
I'm just saying. Because I'm having a little trouble with it, but you know.
You don't get it. You don't.
I get it. It's
yeah,
just
yeah.
It because the whole concept of holding up the program. I mean, that kind of bugged me. Like Tara said, it was like.
Thank you, Shelley.
We don't really.
I'm not holding anything up.
That puts a lot of responsibility.
Do you go to a meeting?
But
that's what helps the meeting continue to go for the newcomers.
But it's not me. It's us.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's a we thing.
Okay. Yes. But here's the thing. And somebody told me this one time. Actually, I think it was Mitzenmacher.
Oh, geez.
When people go, the newcomer is the most important person at every meeting. No. Absolutely not. I'm the most important person. You know why?
Right, right. Because
if I don't go, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And if you don't go, and she doesn't go, and all these different people, they don't go and become us, there's no meeting for anyone to go to.
I get that.
And so that's what I mean. It's like, even though we may not go there specifically because we're going there to be egotistical and help somebody,
right.
if we all stop going, that meeting eventually dies out and goes away. And then
and
there's nowhere for anybody to go to. So even though we're not, there's people that go there that are being of service just simply by being there.
Well, and I agree with that. I mean, like, you know, my sponsor in Ohio, I absolutely love her. And there were times whenever I didn't really feel like going to a specific meeting. And she's like, well, you know, listen, you've got two options. You can either go ahead and go because you're not going to meetings so much anymore for yourself. You're going, especially, you know, as frequently necessarily, you know, you're going for other people, you know, and it's not like we talked about, it's not really about that egotistical thing. It's just about like, you know, somebody's got to be there to help these people, you know, these newcomers.
Right. Well, we have to give back.
Yeah. Yeah. And it feels so good. Yeah.
That's the point, to give back. But
yeah,
when I go to meetings, I go for two reasons. Because I have nothing better to do on a Friday night is number one.
Me too. Well, I live in Tombstone.
That's number one?
Well, not the number one. I'm just saying, not necessarily in this order.
Yeah.
And it's actually three reasons. Reason number two is because I tend to like the people in that meeting.
Agreed. I really do too.
My friends are there and I want to go where my friends are. It's a Friday night.
Yeah.
That's where I want to hang out. And three, because if I don't want to die, I need to be in the room where I can find somebody to pass it on to, because the only way I get to live is to pass it on.
Right. Right.
Those are the
And that's
reasons.
When you're a belt loop. Because you're holding up the people that are new coming in. You're transferring your knowledge to them. Your
I'm not
wisdom.
Holding them up.
You're
don't give me that responsibility.
You're dropping pearls.
I know, right?
You're dropping pearls of wisdom on them.
I have no pearls of wisdom. All I have is what's in the first 164 pages, and that's not even mine.
And
I didn't create it.
Yeah, it's not any more brilliant than anything that you've got going on. I mean, we all
do
the same
clearly,
thing.
No, listen. That's
oh, she knows you too well.
You know what?
Already.
That's absolutely. You know what? I love when we were in Southern California, we would go to these meetings, and sometimes there'd be guys with more time than me there. It depends on the meeting.
Not
and
very
when.
Often, though.
But, you know, but I'd be like, and
now everybody's got more time than you.
Yeah. When you have the most time in a meeting, everyone comes to you like you know something. And I'm like, I don't, the only thing that I have is that I've been around longer than you, you know?
Yeah.
Shelly and I used to talk about the people that I think are generally speaking the best overall speakers have between about 9 months and about 4 or 5 years, because these people are on fire
exactly.
for a program. They're getting the promises and all that.
Because
I have heard more guys that are like 30,
so
40 years sober, and they're just kind of monotone. I'm just like, oh.
Well, and look, I have to be really honest, you know, as someone who's, you know, as someone who's fairly younger in the program, you know, compared to the vast majority, I suppose, you know, it's not as relatable. It's not as relatable whenever I hear someone that's got 40, 30, 35 or 40 years of sobriety, because it was a while ago and things have just changed a little bit. You know, it's just different.
Sometimes. Were you there, Freddie?
Yes. Yes, I was.
That was incredible. He has 30, 40 years.
That was really something, wasn't it?
Well, you can tell when a speaker has really affected the crowd when there are like these long silences in between people.
Well, like
nobody
at the end, they're who wants to share? And everyone's just quiet.
Yeah, nobody wanted to speak. Like, how do you follow that? And what do you say to something like that?
Yeah.
How do you respond?
That guy been through the ringer.
Yeah, Bruce is looking at me like,
and it was relatable.
I've got nothing for that. And it was relatable
in every way, because it wasn't like really like it wasn't like stuck in like a specific time period. It was just talking about the feelings of things that happened to him. And I'm just like, oh,
I do agree with that so much. And also, I really appreciated that he really kept to like specific points. Like, he didn't really get off on like, well, I went to this bar or I went to this place and I did this. It was very generalized and very factual, and it was kind of like doot, like, this is like these are the highlights on the timeline, this is what you need to know, this is why I'm here, and this is how I keep it moving.
But I do know what you mean. But sometimes I've heard people share that have, you know, 30 years, and they've shared so many times the same thing over and over that now it's a tape. yeah. and they don't even, I'm not even sure they're connected to what they're saying anymore.
Does your story change?
Well, here's the thing.
Because I found that mine changes somewhat based on the audience.
Yeah, it depends on who you're talking
to. Or how I'm feeling or what's relevant to me in that given time period.
But it doesn't change so much as the things that you say are different. They all apply
to you. Maybe you're saying it in a different way.
You're just, or saying different stories or different things.
Highlighting different points based on what's relevant.
We used to talk about this.
The reason I clarify that is because.
We used to talk about that because my friend James, who used to be on the show, he used to tell me, he's like, oh, you're a great speaker. He goes, but you know, you always share the same thing. And I'm like, well, I only have one story because James would share. It was a completely different story every time he shared. And
I learned something new about James every time he opened his mouth.
And what used to be funny is James moved up to Glendale, Arizona for a number of years. And when he came back, it was always, you know, this one time in Arizona. This one time in Arizona. So one time we're sitting at Starbucks and my friend Mark.
You know James still listens to the show.
He does not.
Mm-hmm.
He does not. No. Besides, I've told James this to his face, so it's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
So, our friend Mark is an EMT.
Okay.
And he was going to Southern Utah from Vegas, and there's this amazing canyon that you go through when you very first come out of the desert. One minute you're in flat territory, the next minute you're in these giant cavernous walls. And some guy's camper had crashed on the side of the road, and it was on fire. And he goes and helps the guy get out of it.
Wow.
And the guy's like, we got to get away from the camper because I'm a hunter and there's a whole bunch of ammo in here, right? So it's like firing off and Mark's like, oh my God. So he tells that story. And then like 2 weeks later, we're all sitting at coffee and James goes, well, this one time in Arizona, you know, there's this canyon and this motorhome had crashed and I helped a guy get out of it. And the guy says, I'm a hunter and there's ammo in here. And Mark is sitting there. Mark's like, that's my story.
Yeah,
and
James could not believe us that we knew he had, and I don't think he did it on purpose. I think it's like he assimilated the story and it became his.
Yeah.
Tell me the other part of it.
Our other friend Fausto and we were there that night, and pretty much everybody's like looking at James like, "You're kidding, right?" Because
we're all there.
Yeah,
we already know the story. Everybody knows the story.
People going to coffee every time.
So it's not like the group changes. So our friend Fausto and I, he and I decided that we were going to set James up because he didn't believe us. And we seated. I don't even remember what the story was.
I don't remember what the story was either.
It had to do with Fausto doing this and I interjected some things, you know, that reminds me of this time when blah, blah, blah. The next week, James comes back and repeats that story.
This one time in Arizona, and it was the verbatim, like, exact same thing.
Yeah.
And so it's funny when he would say,
"Wow,
well, you know, your story is always the same." Now, clearly, I have a lot of different stories that I, because trust me, I could go to a meeting, I could speak for 3 hours.
Yeah.
No
yeah,
problem.
Oh, because, I believe it.
Because I got a bunch of stories that I could use, and I don't always use the same stories, but, you know. But I was laughing because, you know, James would be like, well, your story is always the same. I'm like, well, yeah, that's because I don't make up other stuff, you know. Because when I was younger and newer in the program, I had a tendency to embellish stories.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe the big thing was, what was the most I ever drank? And I think the most I ever drank, and now I'm not even sure, but I think the most I ever drank was like 27 kamikazes in like an hour. But, you know, I'd tell the story, and then pretty soon it was 29 kamikazes, and it was 34 kamikazes. I'm like,
42.
And I don't even know what the real number is anymore.
Yeah.
Every time I've heard you tell that story, it's been 27. So at least for the last 18 years, it's been 27.
Perfect. So let's do this.
Yeah.
So,
Shelly,
what are your final words? On the belt and the belt loop, besides that topic sucks.
It's not the topic that sucks. I just didn't like the analogy. I think that I have been supported much more than I have supported. So I have to keep going back so that I can I can balance the scales there a little.
Okay. Tara?
I get that. I mean, like, I just keep doing what I was told to do and I just keep showing up. And whatever that looks like for anybody else, I mean, I'm staying where I need to be, you know.
Sometimes I'm parachute pants, and sometimes I'm spandex.
And all the time you're awkward.
Well, you know.
Oh, my God. I love this
That's
third
fantastic.
Host.
That's fantastic. Okay. So, Shelly, who's the lead-out music by when you're done laughing?
I'm done laughing. Forever Amber. Let's shout out to Yvette.
Forever Amber. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
And take care of you.
If you always do what you've always done, you'll continue to get what you've always had.
You won't be in, in love and war, let the games begin. I got you beat with just a paper and a pen, thanking God for the poor within. I was raised up right up a middle class, seemed like I was slumming with trailer trash. Tweakers, beakers, freakers all bound to crash. I hate to say it, but your life won't last. Bitches telling me I look like shit, 23 and 6 kids telling me I'm lit. This is what we do. You know they'll never own me, and yeah, they wanna store me, and now they wanna hold me. It's too late for that. It's all liquid, it's black. There's no turning back. You know you wanna hear that. So what you looking at? Well, what you looking at? Close your eyes, girl, cause you're gonna get smacked. Rat-a-tat-a-tat-tat, licky, licky, it's black. Rat-a-tat-a-tat-tat, licky, licky, it's black. Chills. Are you down for freak-a-deak-air thrills? Is your heart picking up the pace? Do you wanna see my face? Do you wanna know how I taste? Am I making your heart race? Do you wanna get naked someplace? Yeah, this one's for you. You know you already knew what your kisses would do and how to shoot right through and be light to my heart and tear my world apart and take my breath away and brighten up each day with butterflies and heavier sighs and sexy eyes. Such a sweet surprise. What you gonna do, Hex, when I blow up? Will it make you sick, make you wanna throw up? You send me hate mail on MySpace like a little girl. Come to my place, chase me like a little squirrel. My place, chase me like a little girl. Don't you love me when I'm walking out the door? Don't I always leave you wanting more? Am I giving you the chill and chills? Are you down for freak-a-deak-air thrills? Is your heart picking up the pace? Do you wanna see my face? Do you wanna know how I taste? Am I making your heart race? Do you wanna get naked someplace? This is for the haters, not strictly for the haters. Thanks, you made me famous, just like famous Amos. Now do you really blame us? And do you wanna claim us? And do you wanna be us? And now you wanna see us? You're making such a fuss. You wanna scream and cuss. Relax and watch a view. We're doing what we do. We're sauntering right through as we walk away from you. And this is what we do. We do what we do.